What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Overdunk. This is episode 66 of your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and I am joined by the two incredible co-hosts that call this podcast home. I am joined by Lazadin and Doobsnax. Before we move any farther in the show, of course, we have to issue a gigantic congratulations to Lazadin, as you are now holding the title of not just the current world championship record holder, but also the April finals, April Cup winners for the North American region. So congratulations, Lazadin. How you doing?
Thank you. We're doing pretty good. Team's very happy about our performance. You know, there was a lot of, there was a lot that went into both mentality shifts and, preparation for the day of that. I think all paid off very well. I'm very happy.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I mean, paid off very well is an understatement. I think you're currently a champion right now. You are now the only team with two titles in the second season of Unite Championship Series. So Luminosity now winning February and April. So a very competitive region, lots of shifts and power dynamic changes. But in the end, Luminosity proving to be the front runner. Are you now championship points front runner as well?
Nope.
No, not even close.
Not okay. Not even close. Okay, Amaterasu holding onto that one with an iron grip.
They've gotten in second place in every single event.
Yes. That, well...
Okay. Well, what, first or except second not, place in every...
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course. Yeah, not the one they won. That makes sense.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, of course, the other voice you just heard, Doobsnax, you are on the show as always. How have you been?
Hey, oh. Doing great. Glad to... How many points are what?
No, I was going to say, I think we're like less than 100 points off the DT right now.
Yeah, but in third. I think you're up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. It's a close contest. Very close contest.
First off, glad to see Lazanin and the LG squad finally earn their paycheck. They've got to be happy about that. So congratulations to them, of course. April finals was kind of sick. Not a lot of fun. It was nice to see Nouns on the rebound. It was fun to see LG on the rebound and finally kind of both take those spots that I think... a lot of people had earmarked for those teams specifically and always felt like they should have been there. So that was exciting. It was nice to get to cast a Gudra game. That was a lot of fun. It good. And then TTV'd. Yeah, totally. April finals was great. I had a lot of fun with it. I'm excited to talk about it.
It was a sweet tournament. I think you were right. You hit the nail on the head there. It tossed up a lot of expectations within the competitive scene, at least within EU and North America. A few LATAM regions kind of had that sort of return to glory, 00, taking that top spot yet again in their series. And of course, I don't know how much we're going to talk about it on this podcast episode, but the Eastern regions are now really hitting the ground running in their Unite Championship Series. And we used to be Macro in Japan winning the first one, which was a lot of people's expectations. So, I don't know, just kind of a return to form. And in a tournament that a lot of people can kind of, turn away from or, like, lose attention on, we have a big mid-season spike in EOS, and then there's a couple of tournaments that kind of fill that time space between then and the regional final. So, oftentimes we can see a bit of a turn away, but I don't know. I think the expectations were really shaken up, and it was exciting to watch as a viewer. Obviously, I was watching this at home. I know, Doobsnax, you just said you had a ton of fun casting it and getting to be a part of it, and then Lazadin, of course, you won the thing, so that's got to be some level of fun. I know gamers are always going to shrug it off and be like, nah, never fun, hate the game, it's whatever. But I mean, you were a champion, so it's got to be a little bit. But yeah,
it was a blast.
Cool.
Waking up early that morning, like I set an alarm nice and early so I could catch EU, maybe see if they had anything special going on. There wasn't really like a whole lot that we could pick up from using any of that knowledge, but it was still fun. I got to watch the exceptionally close game that was, I'm so sad this didn't get streamed on the main broadcast, TTS versus Dalibobo. That series was crazy.
It was insane. Like, nail biter, like, holding my breath the entire game, unbelievably close. It was wild. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love that series. Mm-hmm. I haven't caught all of NA yet. I've caught most of NA at this point, but I haven't caught all of it yet. I'm looking forward to rewatching those. I've been, this weekend reignited my passion for the game. So I've, like if you've just been watching my streams recently, I've been watching region after region after region, just grinding through all the finals I missed the last couple months. Like,
Sick.
Oh, some of them are better than others.
As is the way of esports, right? It always is. It always is. What's up, Jake, dude? Yeah, no, it is a it is always a crazy time when it comes to Unite. I'm looking forward to that season of Overdug specifically, by the way. I'm excited for, I mean, of course, NAIC is the next really big event that like everyone's looking forward to, the North American Regional Clash, but I am actually pretty excited for that, you know, that little bit of a lull before Worlds where we all get to just get way too deep in the VOD review and just be theory crafting the craziest things and, you know, ranking all the different regions, looking into players, storylines for who's going to be there and what's it going to be like. It's going to be amazing.
Trust me, guys, Triple Bird, it's broken. Just trust me.
And but we're going to throw all that stuff at the wall and some of it is going to stick, right? Like, that's always the way of these esports. It's always nuts. So I am excited for that moment. But in the thick of the season, I think we get to see it. We actually get to watch the game. So that is mm-hmm. always a blast. But yeah, Triple Bird withstanding. I think some of the strategies that we've seen from some of these tournaments have been really cool. And I'm excited to dig into those in the very near future. And well, I can't really announce that on the podcast yet, but look forward to this channel on this upcoming weekend. I got a pretty cool interview lined up, but I don't know the exact time or details or even have a strong for sure, but we have some other region. I have nothing. Classic. This is the token esport announcement of an announcement. Just pay attention to the Unite Mics Twitter. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for the weekend. It's going to be a good time. Let's just start doing a bit of a review of what happened in the April Cup Finals. Let's start with EU. It's the first one that happened on broadcast. We talked about that crazy match that happened between Time to Shine and Talibobo. I think you could look at that match in a couple of different ways if anybody was seeing it. By the way, if anybody wants to go back and watch these kind of that were off the main broadcast, Blaine was the main one that was casting and covering all this content. So they were the...
If you can watch their video. There's also a Spanish dude, but I don't remember what his Twitch channel is. Was like the only one that was showing some of the games. Like, oh God, what was his name? Althaus Grin.
Okay, we'll look it up. We'll look it up. We'll post it somewhere. You'll find it. But we definitely have some good photos to see. Time to Shine pushing Talibobo to the brink there was really exciting. Time to Shine playing with a brand new roster, like always. they had Dodo filling in for them on this squad, and then Zante, because Lundru joined WoofWoof, so Zante heading back over to play with Shelvin and Gek. Extremely close game, absolutely down to the wire. Time to Shine Talibobo pulling that one just slightly ahead to make it into the winner's finals and then get into broadcast, but like I said, you could look at that matchup a couple different ways. Either it was Time to Shine absolutely cooking on a heater of a tournament and just almost took them down, or maybe it was the first signs of cracks in the armor for Talibobo, which we got to see a little bit later. But Deuce Next, what was the first game that you all got to cover on the EU broadcast? Do you remember that one?
Tilted Deviant. Tilted Deviant. Woof Woof.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. I think Woof Woof ran out of steam.
Okay.
It was just... It was fun to see Tilted Deviant there because, again, they're kind of like, you know, I keep throwing back to season one Gengar's goons, right? Like, kind of like always there, but always on the outside looking in. Maybe didn't have as much respect as you know, people would give them credit for, but they kept grinding. A la that story, that was fun to finally see Tilted Deviant in the top four for me.
Yeah, it was cool. B, of course, here for the goons shout out. I love it. I love it. Yes. Tilted is a cool storyline as well. They were the ones to like kind of, you know, pull ahead of Zephyr in the qualifiers, which was a big shock to a lot of people, but of the French team baton pass in that situation. So if it's not Zephyr, the all French squad making it to the close of the top four, I guess it was Tilted this time around. And you're right, taking down Woof Woof, who just weren't playing up to their standards, I think a lot of people could say, but making it into top three in this tournament, no easy feat. I think it was an exciting team to watch for sure. And I guess, Deuce Next, my question to you around Tilted is this kind of a flash in the pan in April? Like, was this their one great performance and you don't really expect them to get close to this top four again? Or is Tilted here to stay?
I think they've got a rough road ahead of them. I think Time to Shine was, you know, I think the top four is really Time to Shine, Woof Woof, Talibobo, Nouns. Mm-hmm. I think they got the better of it this week or this month. I it's hard for me to put my eggs in that basket. Let's just say that.
Fair enough. Lazanin, any thoughts on Tilted or any of these squads kind of in EU? I know you didn't have a chance to watch all the games because obviously you were preparing for your own tournament that day, but any thoughts on this EU setup before we start talking about winners and grands?
I agree. There was a pretty clear top four. I think that was, Tilted, you know, they played pretty well. They brought their own unique strategy to the table with the Cinderace. That was really, really cool to see. I don't know what the future looks like. I have heard some rumors that there's a behind-the-scenes clown fiesta happening in Europe right now, so God knows what May's going to look like. So we'll have to see with that. Tulsa definitely... but like, hey, if they're one of the teams that's not affected by it, like they could break that top four. You never know.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, that's true. If they can withstand their storms. So that is one thing we have to mention here in the podcast. But again, this is something I could talk about with, but I have no information on, which is just becoming my token move on this show. there's rumors of many roster changes. The winners of this month of Nouns Esports have been rumored to be stalwart and unchanging this time around, but there's a lot of rumors about roster swaps. Who knows?
I do not know a single other team besides Nouns that got top eight that I did not hear about a rumor for a roster swap for.
And let me just double down on this word, rumor. Right? Okay.
Rumor.
It's not canon until it's Twitter. Not even then, actually, sometimes. And if the Battlefy sign up changes, then I'll believe it. But there are a lot of things rumored to be shifting into you. We'll probably talk about these in a future episode. Again, announcement of an announcement. Welcome to Esports. Let's talk about a rivalry matchup for the ages that is in EU, Talibobo versus Nouns. So we got to see this matchup a couple of times. Nouns came away with it twice, soaring ahead, of course, taking down the championship. The curse is broken. No longer are Nouns cursed. They're back on top. It's been many, many a moon. Kirk, Deucenex, you were casting this matchup. I mean, what did it look like? Was it just Nouns on a heater, Talibobo faltering? What were your thoughts as you took away from this great final matchup?
Nouns seemed much more on the same page, to be quite honest. They felt like they were in a good groove. The chatter was up. You know, they were letting each other know where they were. It felt like nobody was... like, that was the big thing with Nouns. It kind of felt like against Talibobo, there's just always one player that was getting caught out, whether it was a Daesu, Gatlu, or Sixies. That's kind of like one of the three that we saw in Eos, in the Eos Cup. For me, that was like, yeah, they're the ones that just got caught. And then it was just like collapsing on that because they're each a pretty important cog in that machine. Right. Nobody was getting caught. They're playing behind Bruv, which is pretty freaking intelligent.
it's a good call, yeah.
And it looked good. So, you know, Geese was doing what Geese needs to do to keep the team standing, and they weren't getting caught out without those two there to get their back. So, I mean, it looked solid. On the other hand, Talibobo was getting a little goofy with it. They had their goofy shoes on, and maybe just so used to cruising, they were exactly in that cruise control. I thought the way they dispatched Tilted Deviant showed some promise, but when they stepped back up, I think, you know, Nouns was still focused in, dialed in, ready to go. And it just wasn't their month this time.
Yeah, but it was Nouns.
It was Nouns indeed.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. For the difference which we've seen from Nouns from Eos to April, obviously second place to first place, not a huge numerical difference, but when you watch the tape, I think you can really see a huge difference in how this team plays. And you called it out perfectly. I think the communication just feels a lot better on this squad. Not getting caught out. It didn't feel like Gatlu felt pressured just to win the game by themselves. They felt like they were, you know, playing off each other, you know, capitalizing on the poke damage that Sixies can do. It felt like a little more coordinated from the Nouns squad, and that was just one of the key ingredients to make them untouchable in this grand finals, in my opinion. Lazanin, did you have a chance to watch the grand finals? I know timing wise this would have been tough for you, but rewatch or anything like that?
I haven't gotten the chance to rewatch it yet. I think my community voted for me to watch that tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll have to double check the poll result there. I actually forgot it. So I'll probably watch that. That was the result. It was Europe tomorrow. Cool. So I'll be watching that tomorrow. It'll be hype, assuming that I'm not too busy with patch stuff, because
Preach. Yeah. I heard great things about it. I heard that it was definitely a little shaky on Tally's side, especially. Like, it seemed to have, like, a pretty dominant performance for Nouns. I caught, like, one or two of the games. I saw an Absol. That was interesting.
Yeah, they played it twice.
Interesting. So we'll have to see, you know, I'll have to see how I feel about it then. But yeah, that's what I've heard.
If I can just have my completely unsubstantiated two cents, Zoinks, real quick.
Always.
Okay. Here, I think the impact of this particular month shows and reflects the importance of a coach, or at least someone behind the wheel that can steer the ship when chaos is happening, or at least level set everybody onto a single objective, regardless of how they feel. I think that works well in spades when you talk about the Eos Cup specifically, because Nouns looked awful in day one. Like, terrible, the worst we've ever seen them. And a lot of credit, all of the players admittedly said so, was to Blaine to getting them all back on the same page, because like, some of them were ready to quit that night. Move back to whatever we saw in the April finals. Obviously, Nouns was focused in. We all agree on that. I don't know what was going on with Tally Bobo. I don't know how their infrastructure is built in terms of who's shot calling, who's making the calls, or who like gut checks other people. Not to the point where they feel attacked, but go, okay, yeah, I'm getting a little silly here. Like, sure, you need to rein me in. And maybe that's why the Absol back-to-back, because like, Utah came unglued in game one, or game two, whenever it was, with Absol, and it looked really good. It looked really good for what they were into, and they like last picked it. But it didn't look like that in game three. It looked abysmal. It looked good because it's on Utah, but you know what I'm saying. Like, sure, Utah could have been on a multitude of other things and facilitated many other angles, but maybe it was just Utah saying, hey, yo, I'm grooving on this right now. Like, give it to me. And nobody really wanted to just say, like, look, you can groove on almost any Pokemon in this game. Like, let's get you set up for success here, boy. Like, let's win some. Okay. So I don't, that's just me kind of spitballing and to the natural value of coaches, or at least somebody at the helm that can direct that. And I just don't know who that is on Tally Bobo. I'm not saying they don't have it. I just don't know who that is.
Okay. Yeah. Or it maybe if they, I mean, we don't really know the intangibles in that situation, but rather they weren't, if the intangibles were there, they weren't showing themselves in a great way in this tournament. So even if they are there, they need to be stepping up in a big way. I think you're right there, Kirk. Lassen, can you speak to that in a way, not maybe to Tally Bobo, we've talked about them a lot already, but on your own team, and when you're, you know, I know you're in comms a lot of the time for Luminosity, especially during practices and scrimmages and stuff. Is there a specific player on your squad that you're like, oh yeah, they are like the rock, like if Mental's boomed, they're the ones bringing them back, or they're the ones just being like, listen, we got to make a decision. This is that decision.
Yeah. So when it comes to like, it's different for in game and out of game, right? Like, we don't have any, like the video that ever comes was never published for some reason. I'm not sure why. But Rin is the most consistent like shot caller in game, and out of game, the team leader is Kyrios. Like, oh, all in all. You know, obviously like I step in when I'm needed. I don't have the same level of how you say, like, you know, like, even though I've been with the team for some time, like, obviously, like, Kyrios has been there since day one, so, like, there's some level of, I guess, pecking order.
Sure.
But he's definitely the one that everybody, at the end of the day, like, they'll listen to. And, like, he's the one who tries to get us refocused. Sometimes he himself needs refocused, but, like, that's the ideal. I don't know if Tally has any support staff. I don't think they do. From my knowledge, they do not. And I think I know who their primary person might be, and if it's who I think it is, then they were kind of busy for the last couple of weeks, so that might have something to do with it. I'm not sure.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, we've discussed this with them. We've had them on the show and interviewed them before. Obviously, Zervis is like a really big in-game shot caller for them. It's kind of like he's been given the title of team captain by the squad and everything like that. But you're right. He has been very busy, like military, things like that. So maybe there are some things that we could say caused this. But I don't want to put all the blame on one player.
Well, yeah,
right. These are clear, evidented issues that we can see. So the storm's got to be
communication is an X player game, and the X is like
however many people are on the team, right? Like, it's a right. 7 or 8 player game for us. It's probably sure, a 5 player game for them.
Mm-hmm. So when you're winning, it's easy to everybody make calls and follow. But when things are tough, like, and that kind of goes back to the whole shot caller mentality. We know like just Zervis is always yammering, right? Always talking. Maybe the big macro moves or when to go and whatever, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But when things are going sideways, if he's saying something and people are just falling off of that wagon because they just took an L or something and they were listening to them the whole time, right? Then, like, that's when your resolve needs to grow, not falter. Because if it falters, there's a good chance you're going to lose. And if you buckle in line, at least everybody's on the same page. So if you lose, you can look back and say, okay, we are all moving together on this. This is why that was wrong. But if you're everybody's everywhere, you know, running around with like chickens with their head cut off, you can't really isolate what your problem was because there's so many problems that aren't actually game specific. They're team dynamic specific.
Sure.
So then you can't even assess the real issue of why you're losing the games when you're on the same page because you're dealing with all this other BS on the side. So, yeah, I don't know. This all kind of kicked off with me just spinning the yarn here and just spitballing. But nobody likes the rivalry more between Tally Bobo and Nouns than me. I think it's a great story for the game, period. Yeah. So, you know, I'm here for it as the day is long, for sure.
That's true. And it is crazy that, like, Tally Bobo has just been so dominant, such a crazy force. Touted as probably one of the best teams in the entire world, if not the best team. Like, we've done that for so long that it's just, we have so much more to discuss about how did they get second than we have about how did Nouns finally find a way to get first again, you know? And it's, that's just the mark of an amazing rivalry and like how crazy it is. Like, these teams are so incredibly good and we expect so much from them. And I know for a fact they expect a lot out of themselves as well. So looking forward to May, I think this rivalry is going absolutely nowhere. Maybe there are changes coming. Maybe there aren't. But I do think Nouns versus Tally Bobo is going to be a cast that will be happening for many, many months in the future. I think it's going to be good stuff. But with that, let's pivot to North America. Obviously, we started with this at the top of the show. Lazanin, your team was able to take it home. Luminosity Gaming now having 2 monthly titles. So why don't you give us a bit of a tournament recap here? Obviously, you were there. Yeah. So first round, who were you up against? What did that round look like?
So I said on the show last week that my bold prediction was that we wouldn't drop a single map, which is kind of funny because we dropped the first map.
Okay. get it out of the way. Get it out of the way. Good call.
Hold on real quick. That. Was my bold prediction something about GT?
Yeah, I think you said GT top 4, right? Or no, I said GT top 4. Hold on. Yeah, that was my bold prediction.
Nice.
Well, one of these days, we'll write these down, and then we'll know.
We could go back and listen, and somebody could fact check us, but do not do that.
I don't think that's possible. Blank said GT third. Well, guess what?
Boom. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. All right, anyway. It's just part of my next.
So I should have predicted us to lose the first match because we did that in February, too. anyway,
who were you playing against in your first round?
We were playing on YouTube. We got team YouTube first round.
Okay.
We had a couple different plans going in. We tried a kind of double speedster comp in the first game, and it was going well until it didn't.
Getting a little Nouns-y, were ya? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
it was going well until it didn't. You know, like those kind of comps are very volatile. If you throw your lead, it's kind of gone.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So.
That's how we lost that game. Thin front lines. It's rough.
And then they picked Pikachu, and we won that game. And I don't have much to say about that. but yeah, the second and third game were a lot more clean. All in all, not too much complaints about the series. We kind of like after the first game, we kind of just did not play that comp for the rest of the day. We just didn't feel like we were confident on it on the day. I don't think last month's LG would have done that. I think we probably would have ego picked it the second game, but.
Progress counts as progress. I like it.
Progress
a lot.
Is progress. After that, we got TTV Run 2. The first game was a really close back and forth. They played a very heavy early game style, trying to snowball through top.
Okay.
And they played East Speed Luca. East Speed Luca is good. It does a lot of great things. It got ahead early. But the primary problem with playing an E-Speed Lucario comp is Lucario is not Dodrio or Zoroark, and it has problems killing people after the 5-minute mark.
Sure.
So in the mid-game, we played this really cool Blissey Sableye Espeon comp. And we got a lot of really good picks in the mid-game with the Sableye, which then led to the Ray fight being on relatively even XP, just in spite of their earlier game victories. And then Overlord on Zoroark, just an absolute monster. Yes. Killed most of them, got the Ray. You know, what a beast.
Zoroark's good.
Big shout out to
Zoroark's especially very good. Obviously, Overlord is good, but the combination of the two is something scary. I will say that is that Pokemon is absurd right now.
Yep. Big shout out to Elo, especially that game. Like some of he got a couple of picks that just were absolutely crucial in turning the game. Mm-hmm. Elo played the tournament of his life. It was crazy.
Sick.
And then game two, I think when you asked me about it in the group chat, I said no comment, and that's what I'm going to say here.
Okay. Great. Well, you won it, I guess. We'll have to dig into that later.
Yeah, we did in fact win game two.
Okay.
I will not be mean.
Sure. All right, but you headed into Winners Finals. Deuce Next, I believe you were casting this match, Luminosity versus Amaterasu. Actually, okay, before I get your caster analysis on this match, I do want to ask Lazanin, the top four in North America has been pretty volatile. It's been shaky. I would say there's probably a clear top six if we were really to, like, you know, put a number to it. But in EU, we have Nouns versus Talibobo. I think that's the clear rivalry that everyone is looking at. Those are the big two that are always constantly going at it. If Luminosity had to pick a rival, if LG is like, we want to beat this team more than anybody else, do you have one? And is it Amaterasu?
I'd lean more on TTV overall, but okay. I'd say that they're not that far apart.
Sure. Okay. Well, you gotta wanna beat everybody. You gotta beat everybody with blah, 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 blah. I'm just trying to ham up storylines, and that's what I do.
Because, like, if you think about, like, we're a lot closer in points. There's a lot more, like, you know, personal connection there. Like, you know, obviously, Evo, the analyst for TTV, is the other math card admin. And,
oh, yeah, cool. Coach fight. I like that. That's
Coach
fun.
Fight.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So that's, like, that's my personal connection there. ASU, obviously, we fought them more. Like, I think every single time we've gotten them at least once. Other than March, but...
I think we have to make a promise that if you win a tournament for one episode, we're not Dupesnax and I are not allowed to bring up March. I think that's it. That's the rule. If you win a tournament, then for one episode, you are immune from.
I brought it up that time.
Yeah, you brought it on the table, so now everybody can talk about it.
yeah, it's your fault. But okay, well,
it's okay. I have come up with the solution to make sure March doesn't happen in May, and it's not what you think it is.
Oh, well, we'll dig into that later. Okay, well, obviously, I guess winner's final. No passion in this matchup. Just two teams going at it. Don't care about it at all. But Dupesnax, obviously, you did. You got to cast it. Amaterasu versus Luminosity in the winner's finals. What'd you think of this match?
It just kind of to Lazarin's point, it just kind of looked like Luminosity was on one. They were to February form. Overlord seemed like the Overlord that we've been hemming and hawing about for the last, 18 months or whatever. So it was great to see that level of Luminosity back, because it's always good to have a team like that.
I'm still confused by that flip. I still, like, I watched the replay back, and I still don't know what that entire fight was.
It happens. You came away with a win.
Yeah, I mean, that's, Dubskis.
Dubs and dub.
We take those.
So that was just my general feeling of that particular match. Amaterasu, I think they've, like, solidified themselves as the NA end boss, because they always, like, I know the month they won has, like, I put an asterisk to it because of the wonky scenarios that came through. They still won, of course, give them their props, but it feels weird when LG isn't in the top eight of that to contest for that title, admittedly. However, that being said, Amaterasu is undoubtedly the most consistent team, and while I just said I think they're the perennial end boss of the NA region, I think everybody, including myself, needs to put a little bit more respect on their name. Because sure. when your worst finish on the year is second and your best is first, yeah, you're doing something right.
Your name might be nouns. I mean,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's not true. Nouns. I thought they got like third or fourth one tournament because of Blaine.
Oh, well, that's true. Because of Blaine. But yeah, Wolf was there. Okay, better than nouns. Better than nouns. You heard it here.
All in all to be said for that particular match, it looked like Luminosity was just on a different level. But I do think as we talk about the GTs, the TTVs, the LGs, even Team YouTube gets talked about more than Amaterasu. And Amaterasu is just chilling there. Like, I mean, we are leading this region in CP. We are always in the grand finals, you know. So all of us, I think, can do our best to put just a hair more respect on that name. So forks up, whatever you say. ASU, good for you.
Hashtag for him. Love the Sun Devils. I think we could all agree it would be an absolute shock if they were not one of North America's representatives for Worlds.
I don't think it's mathematically possible.
Really? So even if they don't make regionals, if they get 0 points at regionals,
I do not think it is the fourth place team
not close enough then?
I think they're at like 6K or something.
They're at like 6K. Then it is
mathematically impossible.
It is close to mathematically impossible, if not actually mathematically.
Congratulations
impossible.
To Amaterasu for becoming the world's representative.
What they're playing for now is travel package. I mean, like, obviously if they int, then they might not get travel package, but I think if they get like top four next month, then they're guaranteed to get it, unless like they get like 16th at regionals or something, and then also like a random team gets first.
Right. Yeah, there would have to be a lot of things.
Yeah, it'd be like really bizarre.
Okay. Well, sick. Yeah. Play.
Yeah, they're not a galaxy lock, but man, are they close.
I want to just say it, but I guess I haven't done the math, so I won't make a crazy bold prediction. I've been actually told I'm not allowed to do that, so fair enough. All right, so that was Winter Finals, a crazy flip. We don't know how it happened. One thing leads to another, LGs and Grants, grid stuff.
It would take an LG march in order for any of the top three teams right now not to make the Worlds, let's put it that way.
Stop! Listen, I'm not allowed to bring it up. I'm not allowed to do it. How come you keep bringing it up? The rules are so clear. Okay, Luminosity versus Amaterasu in Grand Finals. It was the rematch. You pulled this one away with a 2-0 as well. Obviously, like you said at the start of this breakdown, you only dropped one map to Team YouTube, and that was it for the entire tournament. So, bold prediction, correct. Well, you said not a map, which... let's face it. But anyway, Luminosity versus Amaterasu in the Grand Finals. Obviously, you took this one
down. I didn't say it on broadcast. I did not specify whether it was the entire bracket or on broadcast.
Checkmate. Okay. However, I did want to ask, did you feel like you just kind of had Amaterasu's number, or was there like, were you watching Losers Finals going, okay, they're changing this, we need to make some of our own adaptations, or was it just run back the same game plan that we did in Winners Finals?
Yeah, we just kind of ran back the same game plan. I didn't really see any like major adaptations out of them. There was an adaptation we thought they might do, and then they just didn't end up doing it. So
Absol?
It's like the same. Yes.
Yeah.
We expected the Absol. They didn't play the Absol. Whatever. We high prioritized the Buzzwole a lot in all four of those games, I believe, because it's really, really good. They have multiple people that play it on that team, and it also completely shits on almost every single one of the comps they play. So, that made, like, once we realized that, like, that was the secret key that made draft a lot easier.
That's cool. It's always nice when the prep and planning pays off. I'm sure even more so for you, who's in all these draft meetings and everything with this team, to kind of find...
6 hours, by the way.
Okay. I mean, you put in the hours and you get the payoff, but it's cool to find that golden ticket style of thing. Be like, hey, this, like, works a lot of the time. I mean, Deuce and X, you and I have both done a lot of trading card gameplay. When you kind of find a couple of those deck techs and you're like, if I add this... this matchup gets a whole lot better. Like, you know, those kind of things. I think that form of satisfaction is really cool to see in competitive Pokemon Unite, where, like, yeah, all that hard work, all that prep can kind of come to fruition. Just another really cool thing that draft adds to this game. It's awesome. Love competitive play for that reason. But, all right, that's pretty much our entire breakdown on the tournament. Again, congrats to LG and Nouns for becoming your NA and EU winners, respectively. Of course, we had 00 Nation take down Brazil yet again. Believe whatever Team Qlash is calling themselves now still won, if I did my research right. I think that's true. I do know that the organization of Qlash is no longer backing them. So they are, like, going by a new name. They're Peru now. Okay, sweet. So they're just Peru, all caps. And they did win. Thank you so much for Dextro for all your awesome input in chat. But so some just Titans remaining in the LATAM region, 0-0, kind of coming back to form. And yeah, the other regions were going on as well. But
shout out to 0-0, by the way, real quick. Yeah. Those guys are grinders. Like, they, like, you say, hey, I want to scrim on this day, this time. They're like, yep, we will do it. And they're like, you're like, oh, we have to play with one sub. They're like, we don't care. We want to practice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they are on top of it. They just want to practice and practice and practice. And it definitely paid off for them.
And it's not just NA, the teams they play against as well. Like, I mean, obviously they're probably scrimming in their own region as well, but I know a lot of EU teams are playing them. A lot of teams are looking at LATAM for practice to play against. Teams are getting good. I think they're an exciting region to be watching. I was watching a lot of their April Cup finals, and there's some exciting stuff in those regions, and I am, oh man, I'm excited for World Season 2. It's going to be awesome. But Dupes next, any final thoughts on the April Cup before we move on from this conversation?
No, just want to throw a shout over to OCE. That's heating up as well, which is pretty cool, as they just got their second winner in Exo Clan. And then Team Gap came second, iClan in third. And I think the way their CP shakes out, it's Exo, iClan, and then Team Gap a little bit further behind. So that's another one that's a kind of a wild race. Because there's two slots available, right? Regional finals and CP. So CP is going to be very, very important, and consistency amongst those three teams in these next two events is going to be huge. So hopefully one of them doesn't misstep, because that pretty much eliminates them from the CP option. Well, so.
And since there's two spots, that's going to be regional winner and top CP, right? Like, that's going to be the two winners. Okay, so I mean, that is a very exciting regional final tournament to be spectating. I mean, that is going to be huge. So
yeah, I agree.
That is an interesting region as well. I mean, obviously it's a bummer they only get two slots. I mean, the numbers they have for signups, I think, kind of fair for that regard, but it is going to be, it's going to be an exciting show to watch and see what teams can make it out. But yeah, those three really all kind of clamoring for that spot. And I think there's a couple of teams that have had, like, solid performances. So, I mean, if you turn that solid performance into a great one and you spike a tournament, you spike the right one, all of a sudden you're right there in that contention for Worlds, which is absolutely sick. And I'm into that. But cool.
Let's see, pull a Team TOS, baby. Let's go.
TOS takeover. Oops. Oh, man. I'll never stop predicting TOS. Okay.
No, but I'm being serious, though, right? Like, that is the story that you need to pull off. Like, you need to just, even if you're one of the middle of the pack teams all year, like, if you spike at the right time, you find the right people, you get in your groove properly, and you can go far.
That's true. And a reminder, regionals for North America is in person. Pokemon Unite, NA region. I want to find out which one of you are Lanimals, okay? I want to see who dominates on stage, because we know for a fact esports history has proven after years and years and years that some teams are just built different on stage. Some teams don't like the stage, but the exciting thing is some teams adore that stage, and I can't wait. We got a lot of fun personalities to showcase with that. It's going to be sick.
And EU set the bar so high because every team leveled up there. Like, even if they had subs or whatever, everybody was hamming up there. So the bar has been set incredibly high, and I hope NA matches it. There you go.
True. Yes. Okay, let's jump away from competitive for a little bit, and let's talk about the game of Unite. One thing that we are all waiting for, as the stream title says, please patch, please, anytime, whenever you want, just please put it in the game, please. Let's talk about patch, a potential patch. There has been a lot of talk. We think timing wise, this one would make the most sense with Unite Championship Series, how the schedule is working. It's been a long time since we've seen one. We have a list of bugged Pokemon that aren't allowed in tournaments. There is a lot of things we'd love to see change. Some Pokemon are obviously taking over the game. It is wild out here. I think that we should all go around and just kind of give our big old patch wish list. What are we looking for the most out of this one? Lazanin, anything that just top of mind, what are you hoping for in the Prey?
Please track? Nuke half of the fucking roster. Holy shit. Like, okay. The difference between the number one and number two, like the difference between like the top of the roster and the bottom of it is actually crazy sometimes. Like, think about it like this, right? We're in a meta where Serena... So to use the example of Serena, Serena's best matchups have always historically been assassins. She's hard to assassinate and can burst them in her own regard, even when she's a couple levels down on them. She's just that, like, this is one of the most assassin heavy metas we've ever had, and she's terrible. Just unpickable Pokemon. That's just a really bad sign for me. Okay. Attacker meta has been the same for months. Top lane meta has been the same for a while, although I guess it's like it's evolved, but like it's like the
yeah, I feel form. Like top lane's where we've seen the variety. Top lane and jungle are the two support and attacker and tank is just kind of remaining the same. Maybe you could call Snorlax like a newer adaptation, but Snorlax just evergreen, you know? Like, so I don't know. It's tough to throw that one in.
It's there. Always there. It's always there. He's always waiting, watching.
Yeah.
Like, let's get some, I want to see some Mamoswine. Like, let's get some really, like, some of these really cool high-skill tanks that we've never gotten to see in competitive play before. Like, really, like Mamoswine. Let's get this stupid comfy shit off of support, because I can play that at the same level as almost all the people that you see in top eights. Like, it's just not, it's not fun to watch. You can only hype up pressing Magical Leaf so many times, you know what I mean?
We saw Sweet Kiss one time. I remember Sprague was talking about the Sweet Kiss, and I was pretty hyped. I mean, was it good? I don't know. I did enjoy that it was happening. That's all I can say about Sweet Kiss.
I don't remember if it was Korea or Japan, but there was, in fact, a Sweet Kiss Comfy picked with Azura in one of those finals, and it did not look good.
It looked cool, but yes, it did not look great. Okay, so obviously some big old nerfs. You want the nerf hammer to swing heavily upon the game of Pokemon Unite. All right, Deucenex, are you for the nerf hammer? Do you want to see the buff trampoline?
Oh, and the obvious one, the stupid dog. Please get rid of the stupid dog and Lapras while you're at it.
So I went, rather than swing around a sledge like Laz is doing, I just want to... I really just want to take a ball pin hammer and like lobotomize, absolutely lobotomize Zacian. I think it needs to be nerfed to the point of in-playability and then build it back up. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Fix the Pokemon, of course, that we know that have bugs, obviously. That's kind of it. After that, I think you can make some other adjustments, but I really think you need to take like public enemies number one and two in my mind first, and just go from there.
Yeah, what is keep your number two? Out of curiosity,
My number two is the bugs. I actually think fixing Zacian is number one priority right now.
Got you. Yeah, because Zacian number one, I think it's kind of out for debate whether people have Comfey or Lapras as that like. Second floating tier that needs to be changed. Lazen, how about you? Would you say that, like, Zacian obviously number one, but like Comfey or Lapras, which one needs to be adjusted more in terms of
In terms of raw power, I think Lapras is more powerful than Comfey. In terms of game health, I think Comfey needs to be adjusted more than Lapras.
Okay, interesting. All right, so a bit of a both and kind of situation. That's fair. I personally, I don't care much about Comfey. I don't know. I think that it's strong, but I think that it just... I don't know. I think Lapras is terrifying to enter competitive. I've seen that Pokemon in action. I don't know. That Pokemon seems unstoppable. I'm very worried about when that thing can actually enter into a draft screen. I think it'll be a little too strong for my liking. So I would swing towards Lapras, but... maybe Comfey is the main target. But obviously, we all want a lot of these things changed. We need some nerfs and balances. But that isn't the only thing that could see from some patch adaptations. Anything else on everybody's wish list that they would like to be added to the game? Mine, I'll throw in there really quick. I always ask for these, and I actually get them a decent amount, so I can't complain too much, is a few more spectator changes into the game, some more spectator tools. I don't know if any of you got to see the Japan cast, but on the little Pokemon circles that are, like, along the edge of the screen that have, like, the Pokemon's face and then what level they are, they added, just, like, in the overlay, they added battle items. So they, like, showed, like, this Pokemon has eject button. This Pokemon has full heal. Mm. Unfortunately, it was just, like, an overlay piece. So it wasn't, it didn't, like, show cooldowns once they used it. Like it does in League or something, like when someone uses Flash or whatever. But if that did happen, I think that would be so cool. Like, for a spectating viewership experience, so, like, it'd be so much easier to be like, oh, man, eject is still on cooldown. Like, this is crazy. They are being so aggressive because of it. Blah, 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 blah. I think in MOBAs, you just want more information for the viewer as much as possible. Albeit, it kind of clutters the screen sometimes, but I think that we have a lot of free space on our screen in Unite right now. So, my personal opinion, that is my wish list item. That'll probably never happen, but I like it. Lazanin, any other wish list item?
I think that, let's see, one specific bug that I really want fixed that's not technically a competitive oriented bug. There is a issue right now where if you try to close out of a lobby and you make a couple different mistakes, you can get locked out of your account for an hour, and I've done that twice while trying to test things, and it's really frustrating.
Sure.
But I agree, spectator tools are really nice. I would really love, actually, you know, my big thing I really, really want is a more robust practice mode that with, like, potentially, you know, like, the ability to disable passive XP, timer flexibility, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would absolutely love that. It would make practicing so much easier. It would make testing so much easier. It just would make all of our lives infinitely easier. It'd make a bunch of projects go faster. Just would love that.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I feel like this is the kind of the life cycle of every competitive game, is, like, slowly but surely practice mode becomes good. And we're like, yes, this is the ultimate barometer of competitive game health. It's just the better the practice mode gets, I feel like the better the game is doing. So I think, great shout out there, Lazarus. Tubes Next, anything else on the wish list? And what, before you answer, chat, feel free to shout out some, and I'll maybe read off some cool ones in chat. If you have a patch wish list item you want to throw in to the chat, feel free to drop it in there. All right, Tubes Next.
Yeah, I mean, I think third down on the list, of course, would be to, levelize other Pokemon. I'm in the Lapras over Comfey camp. I don't particularly care about Comfey either. I mean, is it kind of corny, lame? Sure. Like, I mean, it's just what it is.
Kind of justify that a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, yes, go for
it. You could just,
as you have the dissenting opinion here. So my problem is, right, Lapras on its own is problematic. It's tanky, it has a bunch of sustain, it's annoying. If you put a Delphox ult on it and you kite it well, you can kill it. You can't do that with a Comfey. The Comfey will stun your Delphox, the Lapras will kill your Delphox, it's freak. And it's not just Lapras, it's Zacian, it's Zoroark, it's Dodrio, it's Zeraora, it's Goodra, it's like every single Pokemon in the game that is already toxic is being augmented by this little stupid thing that you cannot kill. Like, that's my problem with it, right? Is it amplifies all the other game health issues to a degree that is insane.
Why does it stun? Why does Magical Leaf stun? It's so crazy. Yeah, I guess usually my barometer kind of ends up what is more frustrating to play against. And you're right, I do think Comfey is the more frustrating one across the board, but when it's paired with something like that, so... Yeah, I don't know. Okay, crazy change to Comfey. If vertical knockups, like throws, as Pokemon Unite calls them, if that knocked off Comfey, oh, that'd be sick. Like, if I could heavy slam a Lapras and then all of a sudden Comfey's like, oh my word.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Love that.
Anyways,
that
apologies, Dupe Snacks. I just wanted to, like, make my opinion just a little bit more clear.
No, like, I agree that it is in the wrong spot.
Yes, I think we can all agree there, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's in the wrong spot, without a doubt. I just it's kind of like corny strong. So like I just think there's other things to be. Yeah, exactly. Like a big rubber hammer. Anyways, that would be my third one.
Lapras. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Add Lapras to the docket. But I think you're right. Another of us really mentioned the bugs too much, but you did, Deucemax. I think those really need to be addressed. Gatlu put out a great tweet on Twitter with kind of their wish list for the game that they wanted to see changed, some problems that they were having. I think that if you're like, I don't know, if you're a person who likes to go on social media and signal boost things that you feel like will help the game, I think you're pretty like safe and well off retweeting and just kind of going along with Gatlu's post. I think there's some really good things said. It was a really great competitive and community figure. I think if there's anything that's going to try to make a difference and make waves, it's going to be something like Gatlu's post. So I would encourage you, if you want to see big changes in the game and you want to help out in a social media kind of way, go support Gatlu's post that he put out there. I think that would be a really good kind of banner for a lot of the competitive people to fall behind. And I know I didn't. A lot of people, obviously, the post got kind of huge. So, yeah. That is pretty much all I was saying. I've seen just a lot of things about just get rid of Comfey in chat. Full heal buff. Yeah, a lot of people complain about the crowd control in this game. I don't think it's too absurd, but I know it's definitely getting way more prevalent. So yeah, I think that could be something. Buff Aegislash, so down. I love the sword. Big fan of the sword. I would really enjoy to see some. I saw a Make X Scissor one shot Kappa. No, I'm no Kappa. Make X Scissor one shot. Make it the only one shot in the game. I'm into it. 100% execute. But yeah, I think those are all really good ideas. We'll definitely be talking about patch more on the podcast, especially if we get one tonight. I really hope we do. I hope the summoning circle comes to fruition here today and we get to see one. But I think that is going to bring us to the end of our Overdunk episode tonight. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for hanging out in chat, everybody. And then, of course, my two co-hosts. Lesnit, is there anything you want to shout out? I know you're doing a ton of VOD review on your channel. So where can people go watch these great review footages that you do?
Okay, so one way or the other, I'll be streaming it like fucking 1 AM tonight, because that is the usual patch time.
Okay.
If the patch actually comes out tonight, I'll be doing it tonight. There will be a patch stream if the patch happens this week. If it doesn't, then there will be a Honkai Star Rail stream, because I said that I would do $50 worth of pulls if it doesn't happen this week. I am that confident.
Okay. Again, I told everybody that we were doing no free shout-outs. So Lesnit, you better have a check from Honkai Star Rail on the way to me right now, because I said we will not be mentioning that game unless I get a paycheck, but whatever. True. Continue.
My bad. Yeah, so I'll be either way, though, tomorrow night we're watching Europe after I finish. No, I already finished Japan. Watching Europe, probably APAC after that, and then the new Japanese tournament, and then maybe NA. Cool. Depending on how many times I stream this week and if the patch comes, Rage. There's a couple of different things I have in the works for next month that I'm still not 100% sure about.
Announcements of an announcement. I like it. Very on brand. We're doing it.
Of course. The esports special. And I think that's it. Oh, wait. Yeah. I will be playing in next month's qualifiers. We'll probably be streaming most of that run. It'll be fun. I'm not playing with LG. I think if we get top 8, I auto DQ because of that, which is funny.
Cool.
But we'll be playing with Breadbox, Jen Marvel, Ruby, and Emily. Or sorry, Bat-O in the Twitch chat.
That's a pretty good team. There's like a very way higher than zero chance that you make top 8.
I mean,
what's the team name?
Yeah,
it is being workshopped. Genphone is currently the work in progress.
That's way too good, though. Wanted it to be Overdone Podcast Live Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
Okay, can I go on a tangent about that real quick? About just like ridiculous gamer tags?
Okay.
I'm hijacking your moment, Laz. I apologize. You know what? Finish your moment and then I'll say mine.
Yeah. We'll be like starting practice. Maybe we'll stream it. Maybe we won't.
You're practicing.
Have me and Jen feel.
Oh my
word! Well, I mean, like just laddering and shit. Like we're not okay. Like taking it seriously. We like if we're gonna play any scrims at all, we'll just like for fun friend scrims. Like whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll have some fun. If we make it top 8, then I hope we have an alternate in the roster because according to the rules, I am not allowed to participate.
All right, well, shout out GenPhone, I guess. All right, go ahead, Zeus.
Okay, so you just mentioned like, hey, I really wish your team name was Overdunk Podcast, you know, Tuesdays at 8 on Twitch, whatever. So back in the day when I was doing Super Rodcast, as long as you remember this, nobody in our chat does, but it was essentially a podcast about the Pokemon TCG. At the time, there was two. There was PTCG Radio and us. That was it. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my buddy... friend of the podcast, Michael McClure, goes to, I think it was Anaheim, Worlds, Pokemon Unite, or excuse me, Pokemon Worlds, but it was in Anaheim, and he goes there, and it was the first year Pokken was released, and they had last chance qualifiers, so he goes, and he plays in a last chance qualifier and wins it, and he's on stream, because... it's a last chance qualifier, and this is like to see who qualifies for Worlds. And he made his gamer tag on screen Super Rodcast.
Awesome.
To make this story even better, Michael McClure never bought the game. He only played the demo. So he only knew how to use Pikachu with the Eevee companion, and he beat everyone. That's how he practiced. He just practiced Eevee with the Pikachu with the Eevee companion, and people were like, yeah, why are you using Eevee companion here when you could be used, like, yeah, I just don't know any of the other ones, so I just playing this, and he won the last Fucking chance based. Qualifier
free to play gamer. I love it.
Awesome. It was like just the best story. The dude's just an S-tier human. Yeah. But you saying that about the, you know, team name made me think of that. If we're wrapping it up, peace, love, and hugs, everybody. Follow at Unite Mics on Twitter, but definitely take a moment to check out my Twitter and look at the sick Aos Cup sign I have at my house.
It's
right
true.
Now
very good. That sign is sick.
Awesome.
There is rumors of you having another photo, though. Jake was talking about it. I do think that should also get posted.
Not gonna happen.
I think everybody, if you're not gonna ask Zeus Next for that photo, what you should do is, of course, go to youtube.com/UniteMics and follow, subscribe there. All the episodes of Overdunk are up there, as well as our tournament series. Zeus Next individual podcasts are also up there. All that good content's over there. And then if you're following on a podcast catcher, podcast listener, app or device or something like that, 5-star review goes a long way. But I think that's everything for us this week. Thank you so much for listening to the 66th episode of Overdunk. We'll be back next week with hopefully more patch talk. See you later. Goodbye.